Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go.
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Stanley Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Glad to have you on board, everybody, as always. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, and all of our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. 5:15 tonight, David Glazier will join us. News Herald out of Cleveland. I'm going to talk about the Browns. Of course, the Browns will take on the Detroit Lions Sunday. Lions with a big win last night, Monday Night Football. I know. Aaron Rodgers was out of the lineup, but I don't care. Anytime you go into Lambeau Field, you pick up a win, you beat somebody in the North within your division, you move to 4-4, you don't drop to 3-5, rather. That's a pretty big win for the Detroit Lions. I mentioned Aaron Rodgers here, and you know, over the years, Matt Stafford really has had his share of criticism. He's had some ups and downs, and the highest paid player now in the National Football League, so I guess you're open to probably even more criticism. But last night, he throws for 361 yards through a couple of TD passes to Marvin Jones. And again, last night, Lions win it by a score of 30-17. Have to laugh for you guys that like a little action and you like to wager on football. Mike O'Hara nailed this yesterday, the longtime writer who's been covering the Detroit Lions since 1977. He had it on our show and on DetroitLions.com yesday, 26-13 in favor of the Detroit Lions, and the score was 30-17. So pretty close, and a good call by Mike O'Hara. But back to Stafford for a minute. By the way, Golden Tate I thought was outstanding. Marvin Jones very good as well. Big arm, big night for Stafford and the Lions, waiting the arrival of the Cleveland Browns. That is a whole nother story, and that's why I have David Glazier on the show tonight. I want to get into this, this situation on the AJ McCarron deal for the draft choices, paperwork not in, was the trade sabotaged? I want to get into this from somebody that writes about the team in Cleveland. So again, Glazier will join us at 5:15. But back to Stafford for a moment. You know, again, he's taken some abuse. He's taken some criticism over the years. But, you know, you watch the Packers go down without Aaron Rodgers. You look at Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, Deshaun Watson now in Houston, Jameis Winston down in Tampa Bay. I'm going to tell you what, National Football League quarterbacks, and if you're a good one and you go down, you start to realize how much they mean to their teams. You know, I'm not trying to be master of the obvious here. But your starter goes down, most teams really big issues. And you know what Matthew Stafford has been? I know he's been bad on some Sundays. I know he's not always great. But what a durable performer he has been for the Detroit Lions. He plays banged up. He's a gamer. I've turned into a Matthew Stafford fan, and he gets a big win last night in Green Bay. Other news, you know, I was reading today about this modern baseball committee situation that they're going to convene, and, you know, some more players are going to enter into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Modern era committee. You know, the names on the list, of course, it starts with, you know, Alan Trammell, Jack Morris, Don Mattingly, Dale Murphy, Dave Parker, Ted Simmons, who, by the way, is from the Detroit area, Louis Tiant, Tommy John, Marvin Miller, Steve Garvey, you know, some pretty big names in there. But I'm just, again, I've lost a lot of faith. Now, we've had Craig Buehler on here a lot from the Baseball Hall of Fame, the National Baseball Museum. You know, listen, my whole situation here, if you play in New York, you're almost automatically in. If Alan Trammell does not get in this modern committee type scenario they have going now, I mean, I just think the whole thing really to me is a joke. Like, here's a guy that won 3 Silver Slugger Awards, 6 All-Star Games, 4 Gold Gloves, a World Series MVP, Comeback Player of the Year, MVP voting in the top 10 3 times, and he and Lou Whitaker played together for over 20 years. Now listen to this. His lifetime bet, there's 21 shortstops in the Hall of Fame, and I know I've been down this road before, but the names are astounding. Alan Trammell hit 285 in his career. Better than Hall of Famer Louis Aparicio. Better than Hall of Famer Ernie Banks. Better than, at 269, Hall of Famer Pee Wee Reese. Better than Cal Ripken Jr. Better than Phil Rizzuto. Better than Ozzie Smith. And the list goes on and on of the things he has accomplished. Hit 185 home runs. You know, that's more than Aparicio. More than Luke Appling. More than, well, Pee Wee Reese. Cal Ripken had 431. Hannes Wagner, 121. 251 for Yount. But when it comes to power, Trammell almost as good as any of those guys. 1,003 RBIs, better than a slew of those guys. And again, the things I mentioned, Silver Slugger, All-Star Games, World Series MVP. If this guy doesn't get in, I mean, this whole process to me, you know, basically is a joke. You just heard it on Jim's promo, Bowling Green back in action tonight, the football team. University of Toledo Rockets back at it tomorrow down in Ohio to take on the Bobcats. So, again, big Lions win. Mike O'Hara called it on the show last night. Tonight, Cavs, I know, are playing Milwaukee. Milwaukee made a deal. Won't really impact the game in Cleveland tonight. But it's hard for me, really, to get excited right now about the NBA or college basketball. I mean, to me, after the first of the year, football's done. Unless there's any, you know, earth-shattering things, I think you can count on one hand the teams that have a chance to make it to the NBA Finals. So really, to me, October, November, December, January, February, NBA, don't pay a lot of attention to it. But by all reports, the deal that Milwaukee made, they are going to be better going down the road. Pistons, I guess you got to touch on them. They're 7-3, 17,000 there the other night at the new Little Caesars Arena. A lot of the stories in Detroit, basically Pistons not drawing. Red Wings playing better hockey as well, picking up wins in Edmonton and Vancouver. All right, everybody, David Glazier right around the corner. My name is Mike Miller, and this is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, home of the Detroit Lions, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Yes, we even let the University of Michigan in one of the Cumulus Cluster. Glad to have you on board. Going to talk some walleye hockey. They're off to a good start as well under head coach Dan Watson. Matt Melzak, the voice of the walleye, will join us tonight at about 5:35. Walleye off to a 6-2-1 record. Yesterday we talked Lions and Ohio State Buckeyes. Going to talk a little Cleveland sports right now. David Glazier joins us, News Herald out of Cleveland. Hello, David. How are you?
The Browns will trade the Walleye 6-2-1 record for what they have any day.
I might be 10 years before they get six wins. Hey, you know, I was thinking today, how would you like to be sitting down to dinner tonight with Dee and Jimmy Haslin as a fly on the wall or sitting right there after they've each had about three or four red wines and talking about the situation and their current employees of the Cleveland Browns? I mean, listen, they haven't done a great job either, but I'm telling you, people that have made money and have run companies, they got to be shaking their head. And if I'm on the payroll as a front office member or a coach in Cleveland right now, I got to tell you what, I'm fearing for my job minute by minute.
Well, you know what? They don't get any sympathy from me. You say that Jimmy and Dee are adroit business people. Obviously, it was Jimmy's father who built the truck stop business and gas station business that gave them their fortune, that allowed them to buy an NFL team. But, you know, they hired the people who've done this. They decided to go with unproven analytics-based management rather than traditional football talent-oriented management. And what seems apparent is that Sashi Brown, who's the man in nominal charge of the front office operations, and Paul D. Podesta, the former baseball number cruncher, who was hired as a sort of outside-the-box, let's-do-this-a-different-way guy, and Andrew Berry, the young, relatively unproven, but at least based in personnel, pro football, talent guy. You know, they're the one that put this team together rather than go the conventional route and have a football person at the top of the food chain and have the analytics and support people answer to him. So, you know, the whole thing with the McCarron trade, that's such a mess that, I don't know that it'll ever be sorted out because so many people have dogs in that fight that nobody's going to come clean on what really happened. What seems clear, though, is that they panicked after, you know, after San Francisco made the move for a Garoppolo from New England and tried to hurriedly patch together a deal for a former Karen. If you believe the reports, they offered a second and a third for a guy who was drafted in the fifth round and who hasn't been able to beat out Andy Dalton for 2.5 seasons. Now, what about those numbers? What about those numbers indicates that's a good deal?
Nothing. And it's an organization right now, David Glacier, as you mentioned, that, you know, is driven by numbers. And don't get me wrong here. I have no sympathy for old D and Jimmy there. All I said was, for entertainment value, I'd love to be sitting there sipping a cold one while they're having a couple of wines and dinner just for entertainment value to see what they'd be saying at this point. But it is a mess. Hey, let me ask you a question. I had somebody today, and I know it's early on this situation. You probably have guessed already where I'm going this because he's a Toledo guy. Now, all of a sudden, there talks about bringing in McCarron. As you mentioned, he can't even start in Cincinnati. Where do you think Deshaun Kaiser's head is right now?
If I was him, I'd be confused. You know, they tell me they're going to go with me, and then they pull me out. They tell me they're going to go with me, then they pull me out. They tell me they're going to go with me, they let me play a whole game, and then I read in the paper that they tried to get the backup quarterback from Cincinnati, who couldn't beat out a quarterback who's struggling himself this year. And what does that mean for me if they're going to give up a second and a third? Well, Deshaun Kaiser went to Notre Dame. He's a pretty smart kid. He knows that means that's curtains for him there. The Washington Post had a piece the other day that said the only thing the Browns are good at is being bad. Now when a newspaper that follows the game closely but really has no emotional stake in the Browns is writing that, you have a real problem. Agents reportedly are advising free agents not to come to Cleveland. They're also trying to steer young, undrafted players away from Cleveland. We heard last week that Sam Darnold, the quarterback, highly rated quarterback from USC, might stay at USC for his fourth and final year if he thinks he's going to go first and Cleveland has that first pick. Nothing about what's going on there now is good news. And, oh, yeah, they're losing every game. Hugh Jackson is now 1-23 in
wow.
two seasons. I mean, one and 15 and then 0-8 because according to them, the plan was to take it down to ground zero and rebuild with draft choices. Well, if that's the case, then why are you trading a second and a third for a backup quarterback in what looks like a panic move? Now, Hugh Jackson worked with McCarron at Cincinnati, so he knows a thing or two about him. But the book on McCarron is the reason he's not even getting a chance to replace Andy Dalton is because he doesn't have the kind of power arm that's in vogue in the NFL now, and he can't make the throws, you know, on downfield high-leverage plays that NFL teams want their quarterbacks to make. Kizer, on the other hand, is a 6'4", 240-pound kid who can make any throw. So, I guess after now 18 years of this is the expansion era Browns of watching this franchise flail away under three different owners, under seven different general manager and front office regimes, and under what seems like 48 head coaches. I know it's not 48. I'm just exaggerating for effect there. That nothing, the only thing that doesn't change is that they don't get better and they lose every year. And Mike, you follow NFL football. That is almost impossible because the NFL rewards bad seasons. It rewards bad seasons strung together with three and four rich drafts. Other teams have used that, Jacksonville, to right their franchises and become competent, maybe even good teams again. You can make the argument the Browns are worse this year than last. So how does that happen in a league that keeps rewarding, you know?
Right. I mean, we have a team on our radio network here, the Lions. Really, they at least they're showing some improvement. Nothing like the Cleveland Browns right now. And I've always thought the Lions would bounce back just because of what you're saying. Lions didn't draft well, haven't drafted well. But you know what?
They drafted a quarterback.
They did. They certainly did. I just got done talking about them out of Georgia, Matthew Stafford. Something else I just said, too. You look around the league and guys like Rodgers banged up and Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston. And Matthew Stafford's had his detractors. But I'm going to tell you what. He's under center every Sunday, good or bad. He's about as durable as they come. You know what, too? I mean, I'm just befuddled on this Josh Gordon situation. David Glazier joins us here in the Vito's Pizza.
Yeah, boy, now that has failure written all over it. This guy just did an interview with GQ magazine that said he got high and drunk before every game he played in the NFL and that it was tough to live in Cleveland and that he actually hated living in Cleveland because people were so mean to him. This is the guy you're bringing back into this situation. This is like walking into a room with people who have issues with noise and firing off some M80s. I mean, there's no logic to this. This is exactly the kind of player they don't need. I mean, he's proven again and again and again.
You don't want this guy around a young football team. This is, you're exactly right. What, I mean, you guys are there. You talk to the Cleveland brass, their PR, what are they saying about it? When I'm sure somebody asks, hey, why are you bringing back Josh Gordon?
Well, because they have by far the worst receiving core in the NFL. This might be the worst. The Browns have had some pretty bad receiving cores in the last 5 years. This may be one of the worst in, let's say, the last quarter century of NFL football. They don't have a single competent wide receiver now. Not one. Which makes it difficult to know what kind of quarterback you have in Deshaun Kizer, since the guy with the big arm and the ability to deliver the ball has no one who can get to the places where he can deliver the ball. And the other thing is, you talk about the number cruncher draft, you know, guys drafting. They drafted Corey Coleman, and he can't stay on the field. And he was one of the guys who was out with DeShone Kizer that night before they played the game at 1:30 in the morning, banging back booze in a bar in, on the East Bank. I mean, I don't get the logic of anything they're doing. I mean, I know you have a hole as deep as the Grand Canyon at wide receiver, but you're going to fill it with a guy who's a three-time loser in the NFL's drug testing game. You're going to bring back a guy who hasn't played a football game in 3 years. I mean, I mean. What about that says it's going to end well?
Well, not one thing. You know, I sit here thinking about this. If I'm a young, listen, I know there's tampering rules, and I've always said this, executives and coaches in professional sports, and, you know, I spent some time at the major league level. I've seen this. I got to tell you, if I'm a young executive and I think I know what I'm doing, or a head coach that thinks that I have even a clue, or a director of player personnel, the place I'd want to go is Cleveland. I mean, you'd have to go through another rebuild, but there's no place to go but up. I mean, you just chronicled what we just said. You know, tell me about this a little bit. Did old D
That's the logic, but this team keeps going down. That's the logic, I think with every other franchise, you would keep failing down, and then eventually the sheer weight of good draft picks would help you move up. The Lions went 0 and the Lions 0-4 a season. That's how they got Matthew Stafford. I mean,
well,
but they got better.
Gonna pick first. I mean, and you mentioned. I mean, they are gonna go first. Anything before I let you go on the coming up to the bottom of the hour here again, as
right.
always, David Glazier joins us here. Always gracious with his time. News.
Oh yeah.
Covers Cleveland sports. Brief, anything on the, I mean, I just said this, and you know what? It's hard for me to get any interest at all in the NBA. I know the college basketball rankings are coming. I know you're a basketball guy, but the NBA for me right now is, I mean, there's about three or four teams that we're going to see in the finals. I'll probably start really paying attention about February. A little bit of a story going on here. The Pistons have actually been pretty good. They're not drawing, a little bit better as of late. So if you could, before I let you go, most interesting thing, Indians in the off season that Indian fans here might be looking. I don't know where they'd want to upgrade. I know Santana's deal's up. And anything on the Cavs you want to touch on?
They tendered him. So the offer's there for 17-1 for next year. So I think that means Santana stays. But do they make a play for Jay Bruce? And they also picked up the option on Michael Brantley. That takes care of the Indians. They're going to be in great shape. With the Cavs, I don't know, Mike. You know, they're a 30-something team in a 20-something league. They're a 30-something team that's underwhelming right now. They're a 30-something team that got their pants beat off by a bad Atlanta team missing five rotation players. Most nights they look old and disinterested, and they are the worst defensive team in the NBA. Now everybody says it's a regular season, they don't care, but a B, but a Bob, but a Bo. They're already, I think, 5 games behind Boston in the Eastern Conference playoff standings. So you're going to spot some really good teams, 5 and 6 games, and then spend the rest of the year climbing back. I think there's about a 20% chance that everything falls together, especially when they get Isaiah Thomas back and everybody gets integrated. Yes, they have a lot of new players. I think there's an 80% chance this team isn't nearly as good as people think.
Well,
I am Davy Downer today, man. All I'm delivering is bad news.
I get it. I mean, I love the update of the Browns because we hear it all the time here. Poor DeShone Kizer, and you know, you broke a little story on him as well. And you know, I got to tell you, David, thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it as always. We're up against a hard break. I'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Mike.
David Glazer, News Herald out of Cleveland, basically shredding the Cleveland Browns and whacking the Cleveland Cavaliers as well. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Beat the winter rush. Get Northwest Ohio best-selling remote car starter, TAS Electronics, installed from $129. Depends on your vehicle, but get it today. TAS Electronic, Walleye, Melzac, around the corner. This is Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
More of the best in local sports talk. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. As always, all of our guests up here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. Hey, next Monday night right here at the Superstore from 5:30 to 7:30, Dr. Murray Howe will be here signing his book. The book, of course, Nine Lessons I Learned from My Father, the great number nine, Gordie Howe. We talked Cleveland Browns in the first half hour with, again, our good friend David Glazer of the News Herald. That could have went on for about 40 minutes talking about all the bizarre things that are going on with the Browns. I mean, it really is just unbelievable. And you know what? Lions fans got shredded for a couple of years as well. And coming off a big win last night up at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where Matthew Stafford is, again, as David Glazer pointed out, Lions had to go 0-16, but they found a quarterback in Matt Stafford. A Lions fan joins us now, besides his work as a play-by-play man with both the Mud Hens, of course, and the Toledo Walleye. Mr. Melzac, how are you?
I am doing great, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Tell me about, I'm sure you caught a little bit of the Lions game last night. You know, your versatility is well noted. What did you think about that matchup?
Well, I'll tell you what, I saw a team that, you know, obviously looked a little better throwing the football, and I think it had a lot to do with Green Bay's defense. You know, and Green Bay is trying to win a lot of games right now where they're hoping to win them 13-10, and they just don't have the defense to do that. You could kind of tell with the way their play calling was, not letting Hundley throw the football at all down the field. And you know what? It's a shame because, you know, without Aaron Rodgers, they're a completely different team, and he makes up for an awful lot of their issues that they have on a yearly basis. Yeah, you look at Green Bay, they just haven't been that great as far as defense is concerned over the last couple of years anyhow. But you know, when Aaron Rodgers can go and score you 40 points if you need it one game, he does that. And without him there, it's just a completely different team. And it's showing with the fact that they've lost, what, three in a row, I think, now. And just a total different group. But hats off to the Lions. They knew that going in. They knew they needed to take advantage of that, and they did, and really dominated that game. The score was a lot closer than what the actual game was, Mike. It looked good to see the Lions actually do that, because they've been a different team since, frankly, heading a game taken away from them against Atlanta.
No question about it. And, you know, we talked about Stafford here. And, listen, part of his appeal to me is he's under center every Sunday. Very, very durable. You mentioned
yep.
Rodgers. And, I mean, you go around the league, you look at Andrew Luck out, Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston. Guys are banged up. And I got to tell you, you turn on the tube or look at the lineup for the Lions every Sunday, good or bad, he is in there. And once you start getting down to your second, third quarterback in the National Football League, you got issues. I promise I'm going to get to hockey, but I saw some breaking news here. The other team that you work for, a former Toledo-born guy, Doug Minkiewicz, is now the new manager of the Mud Hens, been around a long time, was managing in Fort Myers, had a pretty darn good major league career as well. I'm not sure, Mr. Melzac, there's a lot you could tell me about that right now, but I will try. How's that? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, I like the move. I mean, anytime you can add someone that caliber, it's going to be good. You know, it's exciting going forward as far as the future is concerned. And you know, you got a tremendous track record as a player and now as a coach. I think you have to be pretty excited about it. You know, I think a lot of people were surprised at the end of the Mud Hen season that Mike Rojas wasn't brought back. I was one of those. I thought we would definitely see him back, but that was not the case. And You got to kind of move forward from there, and certainly looking forward to once we get into the spring season, and we start seeing February and March, and start seeing the team come together. Because, as you know, Mike, even a great manager who can do some things, and in those games where a team that maybe a 500 team, maybe they're better than 500 because of their manager, but for the most part, as you know, it comes down to a lot of what your minor leagues and your lower system has going forward. The Tigers have found this out over the last few years, that you do need to be constantly developing players. You look at what Houston was able to do and what they continue to do, even with trading guys like Franklin Perez to the Tigers and giving up what they gave up to get Justin Verlander. They still have a very good system and plenty of young players all around. So you have to keep that going, and that, I think, is going to be the message for the Tigers. At least I hope it is going forward. You got to have good managers all throughout your system. That's very helpful. But you got to have a lot of good young players. And frankly, Mike, as we know, the Tigers just haven't had that.
Well, you know what? I wasn't surprised that Mike Rojas was let go just because of the things that you had said. And you know what? Thinking about this, Doug McKeamich, of course, a guy that broke in with the Twins. Mr. Gardenhire, of course, and Twins fame. I'll guarantee you there's a little bit of a connection there as well. And I knew, I didn't know, but I, it was pure, I mean, pretty good conjecture here, an educated guess that Brad Ausmus was not going to be back. And a lot of times, major league managers get to select their own staff at the major league level, but a lot of times, too, they have a weight on who is developing their players and the way they want them to be developed. And I'm going to guess the Hens are going to go from a veteran-laden team like they had last year into a pure development mode you and Jim will be calling this year down at fifth, third field. That's my take.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're right on it, Mike, actually. I think you're 100% correct on that. I think we're going to see a lot more younger players. It's going to be a different look, that's for sure.
Hey, Walleye, 1-4 straight, big wins over the weekend. Kalamazoo Wings and Indy on the road. And, off to a good start, 6-2-1. I know it's early. Listen, we all know this. Walleye looking for the big prize this year. We understand maybe the most overused word in hockey now. It's a process month to month, and that's basically what's going on. A Walleye are a team that's built to win it all. So, but, listen, you got to get your habits, and you got to get the work payout out early. 6-2-1. Tell me about the start. Are you surprised by anything, and what have you seen?
Well, I'll tell you what. First off, Mike, as you know, it's a process all the way throughout the year. It's so perfect to say it that way. You hear it so much, Mike. You do, and you know this. I know this. All of your years, you've heard it. Probably way more than me. That word may give you, it's like nails on a chalkboard probably to you at this point. But it is a process. It's trying to get better, for each and every game. And we're seeing that. You look at the two losses that Toledo's had, you could throw a little bit onto the travel there, of having to travel and getting in at 4 a.m. in a city and then playing a team that didn't play the night before. That, we're going to run into that on the other side of the coin, too. So there's going to be some nights where teams are going to roll into here where the Walleye haven't played the night before and are fresh as a daisy, and the other team comes in at 4 in the morning and checks into the park in downtown and, walks over to the arena the next day and gets their lunches handed to them because you're playing a team that's fresh. So, those things kind of even themselves out, but I think Dan Watts and Andy Delmore are pretty happy with the process, as it were, they are developing some newer players into this system too, and I think that's going to give you some headaches from time to time. And even in a couple of those games that Toledo has won, they certainly could have lost very easily. Pat Nagel's been outstanding, rewarded today as the ECHL goaltender of the week, sixth time, by the way, he has won that award, third most in ECHL history. So hats off to him for that. He's had an excellent start to the season with an under 2 goals against average. And, certainly that'll help you as you're trying to get everybody on the same page going forward, Mike.
At Wheeling Friday, home against Wheeling on Saturday. When you're my age, Matt, you stop at the pharmacy more than you want for all these little pills they give you when you reach this stage just to keep you going in the right direction. and I walked into the pharmacy there in Temperance, and Brad Frederick, of course, your medical guy, was sitting there the morning after you guys got back from Worcester, and he and I got talking. I said, you know what? I'm right where I want to be at this stage of things with these overnight trips to the OHL where you're, I think I'm in my own bed for the next 33 days. That is perfect for me right now. But I started, I went home then and looked at your schedule, and I knew you were on the road. I mean, these teams that have been added in the East, with all the teams in the American League that moved out west, Bakersfield, San Jose, San Diego, that whole thing that went on, wow. That's added some miles for you guys.
Oh, it certainly has. We found that out already, Mike, as you mentioned, the fact having to go on a super long trip right out of the gate. You look at it, the way the schedule's set up this year, playing 14 of our first 20 on the road. It's a lot of nights not in your own bed. And actually, on that last trip that we had there, going out to Reading, coming back from Worcester, Massachusetts, Mike, you had two nights where your bed was on the bus, you know, and those are difficult. And, you know, and as I get going more and more into this, Mike, my body's reminding me of that as well. But those aren't the easiest of trips. But, you know, the nice thing is you start getting more into, like, this weekend where you're home at home with Wheeling, where, yeah, you might get home at 3:30 in the morning, but at least you are sleeping in your own bed. You come down to the rink in the afternoon and do another game against a very good team. And, you know, we'll start getting in our Cincy's and Fort Wayne's and only twice to your former stomping ground, Kalamazoo, which is kind of a weird thing on the schedule there this year. Only six total meetings, which is kind of weird how it fell. But, you know, the way they are trying to do the schedule, and you know it's difficult, Mike, because you have building availability that can really throw things, wrenches into everybody's schedule. But I think overall it's pretty good. And, you know, it's really good for our home folks with only three weekday games. Two of those will be kids' days. You know, one is a couple days after Christmas, which is always a great draw here. So, I mean, we're in a pretty good spot right now. And, of course, the team's off to a good start. And that's when, if you are starting on the road and you play well out of the gate, that's where it works out great for you. If you start on the road and you struggle, then you could fall behind very quickly. But Toledo's in a good spot right now.
Again, Matt Melzack joins us, Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza ingredients you can trust. Hey, before I let you go, how's Kurt's kid doing? I saw you signed. I was on the road and saw it on my phone. Kevin Gibson, tell me about that a little bit. He's got a brother, Cam, you're probably going to see over at Fifth Third before too long. And you got another one back in the blue line for the Walleye.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. You know, when Dan Watson told me, hey, I'm going to sign Kevin Gibson. I was like, yeah, that's Kurt's kid, huh? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I guess he had a long chat with him the other day. He said his dad has gotten into the hockey very well, loves the game, and, you know, is really paying attention to how he's doing. And you mentioned Cam had a very good year this year for Lakeland and High A. So you're right, probably going to see him, you know, in the next year or so with the Mudhens. But it is kind of neat to see, and kind of neat when you put together that bio there, Mike. To put that in there is kind of cool, and you know, I'm sure we'll be seeing him here at the Huntington Center from time to time, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Probably having him on the broadcast, it'll be pretty cool.
Good stuff. Way to go, Matt. Thanks for coming on. We'll chat down the road, I'm sure. Appreciate it.
You got it, Mike. I got to get ready for my next bus trip, so appreciate that.
Very good. Unbelievable. I look like old Brad Frederick got ran over by a bus the morning I saw him down there at the pharmacy after that trip from Massachusetts. Wow. I just thank my lucky stars. I said, not me. You know, earlier, yes, 25 years ago. But right now, wow, that would be a tough week for me. Keep her going. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Matt.
You got it, Mike, anytime.
All right, that's Matt Melzack, voice of the Hens, voice of the Walleye. This is Drive Time. Back to close it out after this.